Here's a question. Is the job of spreading the gospel committed to the church, or is the Great Commission given to individuals? Well, we know that the Great Commission was given before the church was born. Assuming the church was born at Pentecost, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and it was something that he was laying the foundation for at the cross. He's the chief cornerstone, and the middle wall of partition could not be taken down until Jesus came and fulfilled the scriptures, until he died. And through the cross, he made of two one. So when Jesus was going to go back to heaven, before Pentecost, before the descent of the Holy Spirit, he commissioned his own to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So in its primary sense, it was given to individuals. And when we look, we'll get into this a little later, when we look at the gifts given to the church, we search in vain in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14 and 1 Peter 2 to find the gift of evangelist. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The fact is that we're all witnesses. Every child of God is a witness. You shall be witnesses to me. And the scripture says that the early believers, as they were scattered through persecution and so on, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. The word is gossiped. In other words, it wasn't so much, let's have a meeting, bring the people in, stand up, preach to them. It was everywhere they went. They were talking to people in the markets and in the street corners, and everywhere they went, they just shared the gospel. That's what it ought to be like, don't you think? I think that's the idea. The Lord didn't say go into all the churches and preach the gospel. He said go into the world and do it. Don't invite them in here. You go out where they are and reach them where they are. That was the original intent, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so the individual believers were called on to do this. When you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the famous verse that talks about the early activities of the church, as far as them coming together, there's no gospel meeting listed, is there? What happened was they came together for mutual encouragement and prayer and worship and teaching, and then they went out into the world with the gospel. That was the original design. And I think traditionally we've had this nice situation where people were used to going to church, and so we'd come and they'd all get dressed up and sit and look at the front and listen to the preacher, and they like to sing hymns and all. But that's not anymore. The majority of people are very that makes them very uncomfortable. In fact, when we were in Newry a few years back, we picked the two best-known hymns, Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art, to begin our gospel effort. And as soon as we began, some people got up to leave. Somebody ran after and said, what's the problem? Well, this is obviously a Protestant church service. We didn't know that was the arrangement. Because we've designed gospel efforts the way we like them, not the way sinners find them appealing. Jesus had his gospel meetings on the side of the Sea of Galilee. Paul preached at Mars Hill. I don't think they gave out a hymn. They presented the message in the daily experience of life. Does the church have a responsibility as far as the gospel is concerned? Absolutely. And what is that responsibility? Well, if you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, now you find the evangelist. And to your utter amazement, you discover that the role of the evangelist is akin to the role of the teacher and the shepherd in equipping the saints so they can do the work. Right? So here's a man who is an evangelist. Yes, of course, he preaches the gospel, but one of his primary objectives is to equip the saints so they can do it. Now that, we need more of that. We need people who know what the gospel is, who know how to communicate the gospel, who are actively engaged in multiplying themselves by helping other people. You don't just invite a preacher in and he does it. His role is to equip the saints so they can do it when they go into their daily lives, wherever they are. And once people get the word that the Christians in this local church here, they really care about people, and they know the Bible, and they can explain it to you so you can understand it, they'll start knocking on our doors. Did you know that? They will. I was just talking to a man. Craig LeGros lives in Rockford, Illinois. He's an aeronautical engineer. And his company got a massive contract from the U.S. government. And then a little contract tacked onto it, a mere $11 million, you know, chicken feed. And so his boss said, "We're not interested in the little one." He said, "You're not?" "No." "Well, how be if I write up a proposal and go to our sister company and see if they'll take it?" "All right." So he went over to the sister company and sat down with four engineers and made his presentation. And they looked at each other and they looked at him and they said, "Well, we'll accept the contract on one condition." He said, "What's that?" They said, "We understand you're a Christian." "Yeah." "Well, we want you to start a Bible study here. And if you'll teach us the Bible, we'll take the contract." 15 engineers showed up for the first Bible study. See, the devil's lie is nobody's interested. It's not true. The problem is we're not connecting. The poet has said, "The music of the church bell is soft and sweet, but it isn't in tune with the music of the street." Like, it used to be that the way church was done was the way everybody... I mean, all the ladies went out and wore hats, and they all put on gloves, and people were respectful, and they sat there, and they liked to get dressed up. But that's not the way it is anymore. It's not a matter of downgrading the church to get the sinners in. It's a matter of the church being equipped to go out to where people are in their context and sharing the gospel. So, yes, the church has an obligation. An obligation, first of all, to teach people what the gospel is. What does it mean? What is salvation? And to communicate it so that people understand the doctrine of the gospel. And then secondly, the need to pray for gospel effort. There are people in local churches and they're out there slugging it out in a prison work or whatever, and their own church hardly prays for them. We need to be upholding them in prayer. We need to be praying for and supporting pioneer evangelists who are going out, as Paul would say, into the regions beyond where Christ's name isn't heard and plowing up new ground. They're the forgotten men of the church. If you go to Pongo Pongo, we'll support you. But if you're going to go down the road to the south of Ireland, well, where's that? Well, we need to think about that. So, yes, the church has an obligation to train people, to equip them with the gospel, to support the work of the gospel, to pray for gospel work. But yes, primarily, the obligation is on us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to take it with us, and wherever we go, to share the Lord Jesus. Anyway, time's up, isn't it? And I think that's all the questions I got. There may have been one more. Oh, sure enough. Sorry. We have 2 minutes, do we?